Father, as we reflect on these words, Father, as we look at the words up on the wall, Lord, and we sing these words to you, Lord, this is the place that you have for each one of us, the invitation for you to overwhelm us, to take our hearts, to purge us with your fire, with your flame, with your truth, for the holy place that we have in your heart is all we want, that we would live with you, to live with you forever. Lord, you designed us to receive you. You designed us to walk with you. You designed us, oh God, to be captured in the essence of who you are and your holiness and your glory, that our hearts would be completely picked up and held fast in your heart, that we would dwell in you, Jesus, and Jesus, you dwell in the Father, and that we would be one. Father, we just claim John 17 today over all of us, over this body, over this fellowship, over each heart. Father, each one of us, oh God, that's drawn into the depths of your love, that we would know that love in the deepest way, God, that would breed true unity of spirit with you. And there would be an outpouring and a flow of that love with others around us because of that. We thank you, Lord, that eternity is now. Eternity is here. Eternity is in our midst. It's not some far-off place or a far-off way. Father, that eternity is who you are. You are eternity. And we flow in that oneness with you today, with the promises that we would live with you forever in heaven in the future. So we thank you for the now, God. We praise you for the present, and we call the future into this place, that our hearts would be soothed by your holy presence. Our hearts would be completely overwhelmed and overtaken and captured by the depth of love that only you can release to us. Oh God, you are beautiful. You are so beautiful. We feast our eyes on you as we sing this love song to you, O beautiful one. You're worthy, O God. You're worthy, O Lord. You're worthy of all honor, praise, and dominion, and glory, God. Yes, Lord, you went to the cross for us. You died for us. You rose for us, and you're alive. Oh, beautiful one. You're beautiful. We praise you, Lord. Your beautiful eyes. Your beautiful eyes. We are hungry for you. We are hungry in 2015 for more of you, hungry for you, hungry for your beautiful face, hungry for more. Lord, that this would be the earmark of our lives, that this would be the cry of our hearts, that purity, holiness, and your way of living, God, would just draw us into a place of abandonment, that we just can't even capture anything other than your beautiful face and eyes. In the midst of all of the trouble, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the difficulties that come when we're in this earth suit. But God, you say with you all things are possible. And Lord, we just hold fast to those promises, and we know your names. Father, we praise you for your names, for your name is lifted up high above all else. And we hold fast, God, and we trust you, because you're faithful, even when we don't understand, even when things don't make sense. What you say is all that matters. Thank you for that still, small, sweet voice on the inside. Sometimes it roars, sometimes it's quiet, but it is the resurrection life and power of you, Lord Jesus Christ. And to you we give all glory, and we thank you, O God, that this is a new day. And this is a new way that you have for us in this new year. And we celebrate you. Can we just celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ and lift our voices and say thank you, God, for life, We praise you, Lord, that we will be marked by praise in 2015, that we will praise you in all things. We will rejoice in all things. We will declare in all things that you are worthy, you are holy, and you are good. You are good. You are good. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The sweet presence of you, Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. The Lord calls us into a life of celebration. To laugh when people laugh, when others laugh, to cry when they cry. The Lord tells us that blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And the Lord calls us into that place of resurrection response. And our God is very, very on top of things. He is very extreme. We know that there are many new things happening right now, and we know that Teresa and Peter are going to have a baby really soon. New life is here. And we know that Courtney had her baby, Caden, and just a couple of days ago, and we celebrate that new life as well. And we just praise God for that. We know that many of you don't know that Darlene's dad went home to be with the Lord last night, yesterday. Very challenging time for the family, but a time where his name, the Lord's name, is lifted and glorified as this man knew Jesus and is in the arms of love and is dancing in streets of gold with great joy. So we praise God for Rich Timmer's life. We ask you to hold the family up as they continue to keep their eyes on Jesus during a very painful time, even with celebratory hearts. My mom was taken off life support 2 days ago, and he awakened her in the morning when we asked him. And there was no apparent reason why that would happen in such a short time from any adjustment of meds to that degree. So we praise God for that, and she's increasing. And I thank you for praying. We don't understand why things happen the way that they happen many times, but we trust the Lord. We trust you, Jesus. We trust you, Jesus. We celebrate. We just lift up your name. Yeah. So, Father, we just thank you for this morning, and we thank you for the things that you allow us to experience and go through. And we thank you, God, that you indeed have the final word on all things, and you have your answers already in place because you're sovereign. You're glorious, and you allow us to call on you and to be used by you to bring about your will. And so, Father, we thank you for that. And, Father, this year, as we heard on New Year's Eve, if you were able to be here, this year is going to be extraordinary. We did show a little clip. You can go to xpmedia.com and see the same one. And we showed about a 13-minute clip on five promises, five words, five thoughts that Patricia King had heard from the Lord, and we thought that was helpful for where we're going in this season. It's not the only word on the street, but it was something that was presented in a very positive and powerful way to help us understand more about the nature of God. You might have questions. If you watch it on your own, you can pull it up, and that's great. We're just going to say, Lord, show us what you're saying, what some of this means. But I remember point one, and she said, this is a year of praise. This is a year where we're going to be stepping into greater depths of praise and thanksgiving, and that God's promises unfold for those who will do that, even in the midst of things that are difficult, that are just out there. Like, what is going on? Why is that happening? I don't understand. Here's how I feel. but I'm going to step in with my life of praise, irregardless of what is happening, circumstantially, because God is good. So we're going to just see an increase this year, and we are excited about what's happening and what's coming. And I didn't know if we had a video or not. We do have one. Okay, so we can flip the lights off. Bethany has something for us.
Father, we thank you, God, for all you're going to speak to us today. We open up our spiritual ears and open up our spiritual eyes to see what you have for us in the Spirit. We're going to go there, Lord. We're going to go where you're speaking. We're going to listen where you're talking, Father. We need to hear directly from you, Holy Spirit. Pray that voice would be loud in our hearts, loud in our spirits, Father, because we're so wide open to you. That still small whisper will be amplified because we're so hungry to hear from you. Thank you, God. We know you're faithful to do that just because we ask. You will speak so clearly to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for speaking today in Jesus' name. Amen. So what do you do when you're sleeping and one word comes to you out of the blue? You wake up and write it down, but it's one word. I could even remember it. So that word was shift. Last year and the year before, you heard a lot about the shaking that was going to come across the earth, both in the body of Christ and in the world in general. If you've been paying attention, it's happening. We heard from other voices into this body, and we also spoke out a shaking, and we had no idea what it would look like. It's even happened in this church. There's been a shaking over the last 2 years. And then there was a message given about a year ago about a sword coming down. You heard me talk about it the last time I spoke. About a sword coming down and a division taking place. Those that wanted to go after all that God had and those that would not. That Jesus brings a sword, even at Christmas time. When we're talking about peace on earth, he's talking about real peace in him. And it comes when he is able to define who are his and who are not. Obviously, those of you listening this morning want to be on the Lord's side, the right side of the sword, so to speak. You want to be not able to be shaken completely by what goes on. Maybe there'll be a little bit of shaking in your heart, in your mind, and it'll shake off some stuff you need shaken off. But you as a person totally will not be shaken so that you fall off the tree, so that you fall away from the true vine, so that you're not in the flock of the shepherd anymore. You don't want that, but you certainly want to be purified. And that's been happening a lot. I hear almost every week from someone saying, there's something going on in my heart. There's something deeper going on in my heart. He's calling me deeper. He's wanting to purify his sheep. Why does he want the shaking to happen? And it will continue. It's not going to stop. Why does he want the sword to come to define who's on the Lord's side and who isn't? And that will continue. Because he's going to make a shift. We've started the shift already. This year, I hear the word shift for 2015. We've heard that for other years as well. This is another chapter in the shift. Where is your part in that? Where is my part in that? We have to allow the shift to happen inside of us, to be a part of the shift in the body of Christ worldwide. Do you want to be part of what's going on in the true church, in those after God's heart, in those on the Lord's side, in those that can't be shaken ultimately, but will find their destiny? You need a shaking, you need a shifting, I do, more and more, but not enough for us to fall out of the tree, for us to take more from the vine, for us to find our place in the body of Christ and take it. I am going to find my place in the body of Christ, and I'm going to be a fruitful in it. The last time I spoke, it was on counting the cost. Now are you ready to be sifted in order to be shifted? Are you willing to go through what Jesus wants you to go through to get where he wants you to go? Or are you going to try to go along for the ride with those that are actually going to count the cost and pay it? Not just count it, but pay it. There are those in this body that are already paying the cost of following Jesus. In your time, in your money, in your lives, in your reputation. People think you are fools for what you believe. Absolute fools. Even when they need a miracle, they think you're a fool because you actually believe for it. You actually believe. And so, are you willing to pay that cost? Continue to pay that cost, because it's only going to be more and more costs that we have to pay. If we're going to find our place in the body of Christ and get to our ultimate destiny, we're going to have to pay a higher cost, because we're going to go from glory to glory to glory. And the more you step up, the more arrows come in your direction. That's why some have fallen away. That's why there will be those that fall away. I can't do that. I've done it up to this point. I'll just maintain. Is that possible? To maintain a level of glory without going up? The answer is no. You have to always be on the move from glory to glory. You cannot maintain at a certain level and go, okay, that's all. That's it. The songs this morning, what was the theme? I didn't pick them. Surrender. It'll take surrender, won't it, to get to the next level of glory. It'll take paying the cost to get to the next level of glory. It's being willing not to be shaken out of the tree and not to go after the things that are readily available in the world. Success is not the goal. Success in life, success in Jesus is the goal. Many people have success in life. They get money, they get prestige, they get, you know, big house, lots of extra vacation time, fly around the world in a private plane. Is that success? In the kingdom, no, it's not. So should we put all our efforts into going after that? No. So I'm very glad that I do not see any private planes in here. No one that I know in here owns a private plane. However, if you own a private plane, we want to use it for the kingdom. If a private plane comes to one of you or to me, we're going to use it for the kingdom. Isn't that right? Yeah, okay. That's right. But the goal is not to have a private plane and, you know, an expense account that's through the roof and all of that type of thing. Whoa. Bingo. That's it. Sweet. Whatever you have, whatever God gives to you, use it for the kingdom. And yeah, you can have all those wonderful things. Nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying go poor. because I don't want you to have a spirit of poverty. I want you to go for higher and greater things, but offer them to the king. Give them to the king for his service. But don't make them in and among themselves the goal. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, this is from last time, Luke 14:25. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. So we lay it on the altar, don't we? We don't go out and sell our houses after this meeting, sell our cars, and say we shouldn't have anything. But we should lay it on the altar and say, God, how do you want to use it? Holy Spirit, show me how to use these things. How to use any money that I have, any possessions that I have, any talents I have, any gifts I have. I want to give it to your kingdom and let you use it. And some of the gifts that he gives to us, he might say, just lay that down for a season. I don't want you to use this gift right now and go the max with what the world has to offer for that gift. It's a possibility. We have to lay it all before God and say, what do you want me to do? I remember when I was growing up, I was in talent shows every year. And then my parents started taking me to talent shows outside my little town. So I started going to talent shows outside my little town. And then I started going to this one presentation. Wasn't really a talent show. It was just people singing during this festival. And the governor of Michigan came in. And I was asked to sing as he entered into this festival. And it happened to be Mitt Romney's father. Yes, I lived when Mitt Romney's father was alive. And he was going to go for president eventually. It was a little problem. He was born in Mexico. But he didn't make the nomination anyway. His son did. So anyway, I sang Hello George, or Georgie, rather than Hello Dolly, when he came into the festival. And my parents, they just, you know, busted their buttons, and they took me to a nightclub that night. Here I am in, like, fourth grade, and they're taking me to a nightclub to sing. And so I sang at the nightclub, and all the people at the nightclub thought that was really fun. You know, I kind of got into it myself, you know. It's kind of fun when people come up and say, hey, you really sing great. And I thought to myself, I need to do that. Give myself to that. So I did, in the privacy of my own, you know, bedroom, would sing and write sad songs. And I became so sad I couldn't even go out and sing hardly. Because I was making up sad poetry and sad songs, and I thought, someone really deep has to listen to me, not people at bars and not people at festivals. It's going to have to be somebody deep. Somebody's going to have to discover me. Who's going to discover me in my bedroom? Probably nobody. In a small town in the northern part of Michigan, it's not going to happen. Except Jesus discovered me. When I was 19, I gave my life to Jesus in that same bedroom. And my songs changed. I started singing songs of life and freedom. I could care less whether they were recorded or not. I just wanted to tell people through song how great Jesus was. My whole life changed. Everything changed. My music, I stopped trying to look like the Beatles, sound like the Beatles, play like the Beatles, and I wanted to just worship Jesus. So my Beatle albums just kind of got pushed to the back of the closet, and my brother has them today. I didn't even pick them up when I moved out of the house. He took them. So I don't know. Maybe they're valuable. I may need to talk to him. Anyway. But everything changed in my direction. Even though I had this talent, I didn't want to go out and sing on, you know, records at that time. The vinyl ones, there's a 33 and a third RPM and a 45. Okay, never mind. Some of you don't even. You saw them in Goodwill, and that's about it. And I thought, I don't need that. I just want to worship Jesus wherever I am. If there's one person or there's five people or whatever. And so it's been a privilege to share that with other people and have them built up and wanting to do the same thing. So just this past year, you know, we put out a kind of a short CD of some worship songs. It was kind of a big deal because I wasn't the one that did anything with it. It was others. It's kind of cool that you don't have to, you know, make your own CD and be on it. I mean, I don't know how many Christian CDs I know that have been made and people fought the whole time they were making it, and some of the people were thrown off the CD that had already laid down tracks. They got in such an argument over who was going to be the, you know, the big person on the worship CD. Who should be the best, you know, person on, who should be the worship CD? Should be about Jesus. Shouldn't be about the people on the CD. The worship is supposed to go to him. It's supposed to be about him. So it's fun to see what God does when you just say, hey, here's this talent, but I'm not going to use it to the max for the world. I'm not going to go after the world stuff. That just ends up in a heap somewhere. You know, my Beatle albums are in my, you know, somewhere in Michigan. Lost. That's how little they mean to me. I know they just kind of rhymed words together, but there are people that sit around going, what did they mean by that? I am the walrus. What did they mean by that? They didn't mean, let me tell you something. They were on LSD. They didn't mean anything by it. They just saw something while they were on the drugs and while they were in India. So there's no meaning to what they did. It will die. It will not gain anything in eternity. But what we do when we worship our King, that will last. Your worship is taken up by him and he holds it. I think he holds it. It's substance. It doesn't just dissipate into the atmosphere. It changes the atmosphere here on earth. And I think he holds it in heaven. He loves it. He enjoys it if it's from a true heart. That was all free. Where was I? Oh, counting the cost. So even if you have a talent, you lay it on the altar and see how God wants to use it. Now the Lord is the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So as we go up in the Spirit, as we gain in the Spirit. We're being transformed to look just like Jesus. Do you wonder why, if you're actually following the Spirit of God, why there's some increased persecution? Because Jesus was persecuted, and he promised we would be if we looked like him, if we acted like him, if we did what he wants. Now, if you are persecuted just because you're you, that's another problem. But if you're persecuted because of the Lord's sake, that's a good problem. That means you're the real deal. You're authentic. If people don't know you stand for Jesus, there's something wrong. They should know it. They should be like 5 or 7 minutes should be the maximum that they could be with you and not know that you're about Jesus. Just because it exudes, I love that word, exudes out of you. You can't help it. You have to, you're a light that's shining, and sometimes you're too bright for the people around you. So you give grace when you're too bright. You realize where they're at. You want them to go to the next level of glory too. So you give grace. You don't start taking these things personally that they're persecuting you. They're upset with you. You're on a different level of glory. It's not your fault. You gave in to Jesus, and he took you to another level of glory. So the word for you this year, and I do speak it over you this morning, is shift. If you have a lifestyle that doesn't please Jesus, shift. If you have words that don't please Jesus, shift. If you're a fake, you just fake church, you fake Jesus, shift. Shift. Quit making excuses for your sin. Shift. How can you do that? You must respond to an ongoing conversation with Holy Spirit. The problem across the church worldwide today is people are trying to live for God in their own strength. And on their own, independent Christians. I'm independent. Are you part of a body? Well, I'll let you know when they're up to my standards. Then I'll decide whether I'm part of a body. But for now, I'm an independent Christian. I'll decide. No. That will decide for you. Eventually, you won't want anything to do with the body of Christ if you stay independent. Eventually you'll fall away, because we all need one another. We need one another. So whether it's here that someone connects or they connect somewhere else, connect to a body. You can't do it by yourself. Oh, but I have Holy Spirit. You're right. And he wants to use other people to speak into your life using his voice. It's true. It's true. The strongest Christians that I know of have been fathered, mothered. They've been helped, discipled. They don't just run around by themselves and, oh, I hear God and I'll do what God tells me, but I'm not listening to any leaders. Just, you know, eventually they run out of gas. They get into a situation they can't handle as an independent person. They don't have anyone to lean on because they've intentionally become independent. And they fall away, or that trial overwhelms them. It's the very rare person that can survive that kind of situation. Now, if it's temporary, if it's something where, you know, you're in a situation where you're in prison, you're going to have to stand with the Holy Spirit on your own, and God will give you the grace. But I don't think any of you are in prison. You're out here among us. And to find your place in the body, wherever it is, and to take your place, that's the shift some of you need to make. Some of you have already made that shift. You've already made a covenant with God and a covenant with a body. And you're taking your place. Some of you need a shift with Holy Spirit. You're going to listen to the real Holy Spirit, not the Holy Spirit filtered by your fears. You hear me? In love? The Holy Spirit filtered by your fears is not the voice you want to hear. You want to hear the true voice of the Holy Spirit, no matter what he calls you to, no matter what he says to you to do. You want to hear that pure voice, not something filtered by your grid, my grid. We want, and we need other people sometimes to tell us, you're letting that being filtered. You might want to go back to Holy Spirit and ask him again. If you're in that kind of relationship, that's a safety net. That's a helpful thing. It's not someone taking control of your life. It's someone helping your life so that you can reach your destiny. There's a difference. I don't want to control your life. I want Holy Spirit to do that. But if I can help you hear Holy Spirit accurately, I want to take that role. I love that because it's part of speaking life into people. When you can say, I don't think you should stop right now. You should ask Holy Spirit again, because the step you're about to take with either the attitude you have or the sense that you have from Holy Spirit, I have a red flag that pops up here. So maybe do that again. Ask him again. That's important for each of us to have that type of relationship with someone. Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. Are you willing to be wounded as part of your shift in 2015? There is a shift happening in the body of Christ worldwide. It's maybe over the last 100 years, there's been this huge shift. More people have come to Christ in the last 100 years than came to Christ in the previous 1900 years. Think of that. 1 billion people, they estimate, have come to Christ in 100 years. It's accelerating. We're getting words from this body that come to Pastor Mary Pat and myself. More was one of the words given to us. There'll be a clearer distinction, between darkness and light. We've had words given to us about acceleration. We take those seriously, because they're part of the shift that's going on, not just in Frontline, but in the body of Christ worldwide. We want to be part of that. We want to be in tune with that. We want to be in an ongoing conversation with Holy Spirit that we don't miss it. You don't want to miss anything in 2015 that God has going, do you? Surely you don't if you're in this place. Because, you know, craziness here. It's craziness. But God's doing some amazing things with you. Are you willing to be shifted more to go to that extra step of glory? Oh, I can hardly handle this one. What do you mean? More? You go up to the next step, level of glory, there's more grace for it. You don't want to just operate in the grace you have right now. You want the grace to increase. How does that increase? When you allow yourself to be shifted up to the next level of glory and to become more like Jesus. What was Jesus? A living sacrifice. What does he want us to be? A living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. He doesn't ask anything of us that he doesn't empower us to do. He doesn't ask anything of us that he doesn't give grace to accomplish. Some of us are weary. We're worn out a little bit. Guess what? Right around the corner, more grace. Don't start speaking, I'm worn out, I'm tired, oh man, this is too much, the body is asking me to do too much, that front line, that Bill and Mary Pat, oh my God, they ask me. Don't do that. you won't have the grace to do whatever God is asking you to do. It's not Bill and Mary Pat asking you to do anything. It's not this body asking you to do anything. It's not that thing called frontline asking you to do stuff. It's what God calls you to. And when he calls you to something, he gives you the grace, he gives you the power, he gives you the abilities. If you're tired, you say, I'm tired, God. And he says, yeah, I got a remedy for that. I got some medicine for that. And it's not, I'll take a break. I'll just take a break. That's the solution. Taking a break as a lifestyle is not the solution. Taking a break momentarily, okay. Take a weekend. Get away with your husband. Get away with your wife. Get away with your children. That's good. It's not bad. But if you take a break from the Christian life, most people don't come back from that break. Stronger, more energized. Just doesn't seem to work that way. He wants us to keep climbing, keep going. He provides the grace. He provides the mercy. He provides the strength. So if you're running into a wall, you don't stop and, oh, I just need to take, you need to go through the wall with his grace. And you'll find out on the other side, you're far more empowered. You're far more filled with what you need from God. You'll hear him more clearly, and that saves time. That saves energy. When you hear God more clearly, you can go through the night and pray. Because it's like, I don't want to miss the next word he gives. I can't go to bed now. Hungry. A shift. Whatever that shift is for each of us, I'm throwing out a number of things to consider. But there needs to be a shifting inside of us. Don't go into this year like you experienced the last year. Don't make resolutions. Go to Holy Spirit and let him shift what's inside of you, what needs to be changed, what needs to be rearranged, what needs to be empowered more, what needs to be laid down. What needs to be counted as far as the cost, and then say, I'm willing to pay it, and I guarantee he'll give more grace for it. So did this happen in the Bible with characters in the Bible? Of course. Pick any character. There was a shift in their life. Moses, on the back of a desert, after killing an Egyptian, burying him in the sand and running from the Pharaoh of that day, he runs out of the desert 40 years doing the same old with stinky sheep. And then one day, a shift, the burning bush. What's that? And what was his reaction? To stutter out excuses. Have you ever been there? I have. God shows us something. Oh, I can't do that. Stutters out. Oh, I can't even speak, God. You think I can't provide somebody to speak for you? Are you kidding me? I could have the rocks cry out if I need to. I need a willing person here, Moses. That shift led him into being bold with Pharaoh and God backing him up. Wow. I wonder if he stuttered before Pharaoh. I doubt it, because he was filled with the Spirit of God when he spoke. And the Spirit of God doesn't stutter. So he faces the Red Sea, and what happens? Another shift. There might be more than one shift coming your way this next season, 2015, to start it. The Red Sea opens. and they go to freedom, and the enemy is defeated in their wake. Is that what you want for your life this year? Then pray that out. Lord, open this situation up like you opened up the Red Sea. I don't know how many times I've prayed that. And so many times it's a clear parting of the Red Sea, and I'm walking on dry ground. And I'm thinking, God, you are so gracious. You are so gracious to give me that, just that one example that I can always pray out. Open up the Red Sea in this situation. God, it seems impossible. I'm facing this water and the enemy's hot on my heels, or this situation is hard on my heels, but I serve a miraculous God. I serve a God that can open up the sea in front of me. And I guess he did the Jordan River just for fun. After that, Gideon, shaking behind the wine press.
There's enemies everywhere.
The next thing you know, he's running down a hill in battle without any weapons and wins the day after the army was brought down to such a small number. Didn't matter. He had a big faith. Didn't matter how big the army was. A shift happened for Gideon. Think of the people in the Bible. A shift. Paul, on the road to Damascus to kill Christians. Thank you. Christians. Maybe some were children. Anyway, he gets hit with a dramatic presence of God. You know, it wasn't so much the bright light. It was that he was aware it was Jesus, because Jesus spoke to him. Think of that. The very one you've been persecuting. And he speaks to you, and you're blind. So you have to listen, because you can't see anything. That was a major shift. He's blind 1 minute, and a few days later, he can see. I mean, his was physically a shift. You're blind, Paul, without me. You need me. You need me, Paul. You're killing my people. You're killing the ones I support. What are you doing? Why are you kicking against the goads? As a shift. And he's a completely radical believer. Maybe there is some nominal in our heart. I just want to do the minimum, the lowest common denominator. That's all I would like to do for God, and I hope he just accepts it and, you know, gives me his Father's love and everything. You know how you get the Father's love to the depths? You pay the cost. You lay down your life. That's when you feel the Father so close. Oh, you can feel the Spirit of God in here moving, but is that all you want? You want that inside. You want to have that carried with you. There are people that come here and say, this is the most peaceful place I've ever been. And they fall asleep during my message. And I don't care, because it's the first good rest they've had in 20 years. Because there's so much peace that the presence of God brings. But that's not the ultimate. It's to carry it out the door. It's to carry it around Stark County. That's the ultimate, to carry that peace with you wherever you go, not just to feel it here in church. That deserves an amen. All right, that was more than 10. Wow. I just asked for one. So David with Goliath, he goes from being a shepherd boy, his enemies were animals, you know, pretty scary animals, bear, lion, That's pretty scary. But he goes to giants. Goes from fighting as a shepherd to fighting as a warrior. And you know, going against Goliath was a whale of a lot easier, and it took a lot less time than going against Saul. He got chased around mountains by Saul. And he didn't want to kill him because he looked at him as the Lord's anointed. He's the Lord's new anointed. Saul is crazy in the head. You could have made some kind of excuse. But he decided for God's highest. He decided God could protect him even if he, David, didn't take Saul's life when he had several opportunities to do so. He went to a higher level of glory. And he depended on a God at that level of glory. He had the grace to do that. You can do that. You can go to that next level of glory. You can have a shift and go there. And it doesn't have to take all of 2015. It could start today. It could start today to let God shift inside of you, whatever he wants to shift inside of you, and suddenly you're living on a whole new hunger level, a whole new level of glory. You're finding, you're seeing your place in the body far better. You're not like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind, but rather you're walking on water during the storm, and you're staying up because Jesus is with you, because you're following the Spirit of God. All these people in the Bible had these shifts go on when they did what God wanted, even if they were kind of unwilling. Sometimes they were very willing. They were looking, like Abraham with his son, sacrificing his son, trusting that God would do something to save his son. And out of the blue, there's a ram in a thicket. That's stepping into the grace. That's stepping into the provision of God, the miracle territory of God. You're ready to bring the knife down into your own son as a sacrifice. But you start the process. You go right to the nth degree, and God provides another way. But not until the dagger was ready to come down was the solution provided. Are you willing to do what God says and look for his provision? If it makes no sense whatsoever, and others that care about your life say, this makes no sense, but it sure smells like God to me, then are you willing to take that step into that? Some of you have gone to Africa. Some of you have gone to Brazil, other places. It made no sense. You work. You have a job. People expect you to be there. Your fellow employees expect you to have the same benefits as they have. Guess what? I've got news for you. You don't. When you step into the grace, your benefits expand beyond the manual. Well, that's not fair. I should take the lower place. You are. You're going on a mission trip to Africa. You're going on a mission trip to downtown Canton. You know, whatever it might be. And if God favors you to the point that that manual expands, are you willing to pay the cost when the other employees don't think that's fair? How could that be fair? How does he get to go on vacation? Well, going to Africa and ministering to people that are demonized is not exactly a vacation. But they don't look at it that way. Are you willing to take that bit of persecution, that bit of flack at work, and knowing that in the lunchroom they're talking about you before you get there? Is that all right with you? Because that's what's going to happen as part of the shift. The more radical you become, the more you're going to get hit. Are you willing? Patricia King says there's going to be more martyrs across the church, and it's already happening, isn't it? ISIS doesn't like us. And there's people in America that do not like us as Christians. Are we going to, you know, bar the doors and all come in here for safety? No, we're going to go out into the world. We're going to love them and give them grace even when they persecute. Muslims, give them grace? Yes, call them in. Call them in. Let them see what real life is right inside your eyeballs. And many of them will want Jesus. It's predicted. It's already predicted. They're going to come in. Many of them. They're going to come in. Do you want to be part of that? You want to see that wave? Then give in to the shift. Allow God to shift your heart. Some of you were much more radical 3 years ago. Just saying a number. Could have been 2 years ago. Could have been 5 years ago. I'm just throwing a number out there. Something to consider. What happened? What happened to you? Only you and Holy Spirit can figure that out. And maybe, you know, some of your close friends that are willing to wound you. What happened to me? I used to be so crazy for God, and I've lost some of that. Well, have you considered this? And they might have something for you. Are you willing to hear that from them? You should be asking. The hungry ones do. They ask, what am I doing that doesn't please Jesus? And they're willing to hear the list. I had Roger. I asked him. He told me. I started to shift in some of those things. It was way back. Now I have Pastor Mary Pat to tell me what needs to shift. Think of that. That's daily. There needs to be a shift. And I meet with her once every 2 years and ask for a couple things to change in her. So Hebrews 10, 38 and 39 says, don't shrink back. We need to step into the teeth, don't we? We need to step into the up to the firing line and say, here I am, God. Take me where you want to take me. Use me the way you want to use me in 2015. Let there be a shift in me. Some of you know what shift needs to take place. You already know. You've heard it for years. And you've been unwilling to pay the cost. You've been unwilling to change the lifestyle. You've been unwilling to give up your rights. As a Christian, you have no rights except what God gives you. And they're there. There's many. But if you try to grab your own rights, you won't see those rights that He gives to you. You won't experience them to the fullness. Let there be a shift. It's happening. Let there be a shift. So there's been books that have come out about it. Mega Shift. It talks about how across the world, healings, deliverances, miracles, signs and wonders are more the norm than ever across the earth. There, I summarized the book for you. You don't have to read it. And there's the coming shift. Larry Randolph. Let me read just a smidge of this. As I've abundantly stated, the Christian journey is a pathway filled with crucial changes and course corrections. We often learn as we go and make the necessary shifts along the way. Generally speaking, the difference between success and failure is determined by a willingness to accommodate change. Do you like to change? Not change your basic belief in Jesus, anything like that. But do you like change? Do you like risk? That's what you've been called to as a radical believer. In other words, it is not the strongest Christian that succeeds, or the most intelligent Praise God. But the one most responsive to change. This reality is also relevant to people outside the walls of the church. Actually, the Christian community can learn a lot from the successes and failures of those in the secular world. This is especially true of business people and companies that have had to deal with the many changes in a world market which is constantly evolving. In the middle of the 20th century, for example, the Swiss were world leaders in manufacturing of watches. They prided themselves in the design and manufacturing of the springs, gears, bearings, and other mechanical parts that were characteristic of the famous Swiss movement. By the 1960s, the Swiss owned 50% of the world market share for watches and over 90% of the industry's profit. In light of this success, there seemed to be little need for change. In the latter part of that decade, however, a Swiss researcher invented a quartz watch with electronic movement. Unlike the mechanical watch, it was amazingly accurate and required very little upkeep. When it was presented to the Swiss watch board, I guess they exist, they rejected the research on the belief that people would not buy a watch without gears and moving parts. They failed to see the need for such new technology and refused to apply for a patent. Frustrated by the decision, the Swiss researcher demonstrated his watch in a trade show the following year. A representative of an American electronics company named Texas Instruments and a certain Mr. Seiko from Japan happened to see the new technology and seized the opportunity. They saw the future of watchmaking and began to manufacture and market the quartz watch worldwide. Unknowingly, the Swiss handed over their watchmaking future to others willing to embrace change. By the 1980s, the electronic watch dominated the industry, and the Swiss ownership of the market had plummeted drastically. Today, the Swiss own less than 3% of the global sales for their world-class timepieces. Change eventually knocks on everyone's door. The question is, will we answer the call, or will we hide in the comfort zone of that which is familiar? If the success of our future lies in our ability to recognize change, then we must, at all cost, change. When change knocked at the door of the Swiss watch industry, they held to the familiar. On the contrary, those willing to take a risk recognized the future in something that seemed too far out of the box for its time. They understood that the new paradigms usually show up long before they are needed. In this same vein of thought, the great Albert Einstein said, "The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results." Someone else also said that the first sign of insanity is blind commitment to a lifetime of absolutes without ever entertaining the possibility of change. Like these men, I have discovered that flexibility is a valuable friend. I have learned to let go of things that I believe are of little consequence. Of course, there is absolute truth in God's kingdom, and I consider non-negotiable. However, the only thing I am totally absolute about in life's journey is to never be totally absolute. Also, every time I think I have figured out my future, the Lord seems to rearrange my tomorrow. He begins by stirring my nest of comfortable dreams and preparing me for the next phase of my flight. I am forever dependent on the daily guidance of the Holy Spirit in my life. If I lag behind, He urges me forward. If I run too far ahead of my destiny, He pulls me back. Overall, I have learned to be pliable, like the Swiss watch people. I now understand that the success of my tomorrow depends on my flexibility today. Simply put, my past achievements, no matter how wonderful they have been, serve only as a stepping stone to a greater future. This means my willingness to change and let go of the past gives God an opportunity to trust me with new paradigms of success. So, were people in the Bible asked to change? All the time. Are we asked to change? Yes. And is it with, you know, resolutions? No, because we know those pretty well fade away. Is it with new commitments? It could be, but they better be Holy Spirit-powered commitments. If you just make commitments and think you can do it in your own strength, if I think I can do it in my own strength, they always fall short. If you make decisions, important decisions, out of offense against God, where do you think that will lead? That won't work. Against offense of someone else in the body of Christ. And you try to make key decisions in your life. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Because you can't make wise decisions without following God's ways of doing things. And he says, lay down that gift at the altar and go make it right with your brother before you think you can go forward with my destiny for you, your sacrifice to me on the altar. You can't fake God out. Oh, I won't take care of this situation over here. I'll give him an offering. He knows us so carefully and clearly that he's going to constantly come to us and say, no, 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 no. This needs to change first before you can go on to the next step of your destiny. You need to change. You need to forgive. You need to ask forgiveness, whatever it might be. He'll make it very clear what is holding us up from the next step of glory, what he's calling us to. He wants us to get there, but he wants us to also go on from there. So he requires certain things of us. How many have heard all prophecy is conditional? That means you may have the most beautiful prophetic word there could possibly be. Acceleration. More. You'll have much clearer distinction between light and darkness. All sounds great and wonderful. But if we're not willing to step and do those things God's way, they'll never happen. You can have a prophetic word that you're going to take the nation of Ghana, and it will never happen unless you do it God's way, unless you follow through with how he wants you to do that, when he wants you to do that, the timing of it, the obedience of certain steps before you get there, the change in your character. Some people want to speak on a crusade stage, and their lifestyle behind the crusade stage is horrible. I don't want them on a crusade stage. You don't want them on a crusade stage. God doesn't want them on a crusade stage. That's hard to say. Crusade stage. Why? Because they need the character first to change before they should be up there. If you get success too soon, even as a believer, that can be a warping thing in your life. How many people have we seen rise to the top of leadership in the church and then fall to the bottom just as quickly, if not quicker? There was a huge mega church out west. They had like 13 satellite churches. And the guy apparently thought he could be any way he wanted to be. They just closed a bunch of the satellites. The church that was the mega church went down to, I think, 600 people, and they're starting over. And the guy is out. And I mean, it's just crazy. All because I think a person thinks, oh, look what I've created here. And that's the same problem as Nebuchadnezzar, who was an unbeliever. Pride cometh before the fall for any of us. So we want to lay down that pride and say, God, what do you want to change in me? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there's any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. I count the cost, and it's worth it. It's worth it because you're worthy. We don't just sing that he's worthy. We live that he's worthy. Isn't that right? Sure it is. That's what I want to see for you this year, a shift inside of you, a shift in this church for whatever God has for this body of believers, a shift in the church worldwide, because we're wanting to be a bride without stain. And that takes change. We individually have to change in order for the bride of Christ to be without stain. We have to change. There could be some obvious things in your life that you're just ignoring that need to shift. Let God do it right away. Let him do it right away. So that the shaking is not going to catch up with one of us. Because it will, if we don't change, if we don't pay the cost after counting it, the shaking will catch up to us. We might think, oh no, not me. It's not going to catch up to me. I'll change one of these days, but not today. Just not today. Not today, God. Not today. Not today. Tomorrow. Tomorrow, God. I'm just going to procrastinate just a little bit longer, a little bit longer, and before we know, he has decided to push us out of our destiny, not just have us miss it. You will be actually given a little push. That's hard to believe, but it's very biblical. Pharaoh hardened his heart, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart. What? Why would he want that? Because Pharaoh's heart was going to be hardened either way. When God wanted to be a little bit more hardened so that something would happen good for his people, he hardened Pharaoh's heart a little bit more. Wow. Well, he might do that with his children, that he just will say, listen, you don't want to be part of what's going on. I will put you to the side. Because I need people that will actually do what I say. Oh, he loves us, and he'll always love us. But we don't just want the Father's love. We want to love the Father back. We don't want to just enjoy the Father's love. Oh, that feels so good to be rocked by the Father. We want to love the Father back. It's supposed to be a love relationship that goes on. Father, we thank you, Lord. You're going to make the shifts in us as you did David, Moses, Gideon, Paul, and others. Joshua, Abraham. Abraham's shift, leaving for a new land just because he heard your voice. Noah building a huge boat, not knowing what in the world he was doing it for, apparently. Then the rains came. Built the boat first, then the rains came. Father, you're so wise. You're so amazing. You call us to a higher place and give us the power to get there, Father. But we have to be willing to go even when it doesn't make sense. Thank you, God. So many are paying the cost here. So many are counting the cost and paying it for the kingdom, paying it for the king, willing to worship here when we're together and also out when we're faced with the world, faced with the enemy. We're willing to pay the cost then too. Thank you, God. May the tribe increase of those willing to change. May the tribe increase of those willing to pay the cost. May the tribe increase of those willing to shift so they can go from glory to glory. And not be hindered in their journey towards their destiny. Thank you, God. I speak it in life over each person here. Shift. Shift. Count the cost and shift to reach your destiny. God, we believe you'll empower that right from your Holy Spirit's heart to each one here. We bless them today. We send them out in the world to change it. Not just endure it, but to change it. Thank you, God. There are so many atmosphere changers here. Thank you, God. There's so many willing to take the risk. We give you praise. We honor you always, always, and in this year of 2015. Shift, body of Christ, brothers and sisters, shift, shift. Let him shift in you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
As part of that shift, I just invite all of us to enter into a prayer for healing. On Christmas night, my mother was hospitalized in the emergency room and then in ICU, as I mentioned earlier, with flu, type A flu, and pneumonia, and it hit hard and fast. And many of us have been experiencing those things, have been feeling, not necessarily the depth of pneumonia or anything, but we've been hearing things. I do know that even Timken Mercy Hospital was refusing people because they were full. And if you don't have insurance, you don't have another place to go. I talked to a nurse at Altman last night, and the nurses and doctors, even at Altman, are getting sick and the help. And so others who are healthy are taking double shifts. And I don't know how it is in Akron for Josh and all. I don't know if it's the same. But I just want to lift up. I just had this sense that we want to lift up what the Lord wants to see break through. People are calling the flu and such an epidemic. I don't know if it's really an epidemic, if it's at that place in this area or not. But let's go ahead and pray without fear. And so I'm suiting up still to go see my mom in a step-down ward with a mask and a gown and everything, and she's still quarantined that way, isolated. And she's coughing and hacking and coming through all this. My father is seemingly not, he's rising and then goes down and rise and go down and rise and go down with the flu, and he's had it since she was hospitalized. So I know that I'm not the only family that's dealing with this. So if we can just be in agreement right now, and if you have any kind of symptoms yourself and you want some prayer for that, just put your hand up and we'll just agree. Just those who are around who have been coughing, hacking, and have whatever, those who are very strong and healthy, if you want to just put your hand on their back, that would be nice. And there's somebody in the back, and anybody over here? So Father, we just thank you that we are your children and we call you Jehovah Rapha because you are. And you bring healing, Lord God, in many different ways. So we're calling on you right now for this area in this body and also in Stark and Summit County, northeastern Ohio, and the state of Ohio, oh God. And if it's across the nation, we speak it out there as well. Father, that you desire for your children to be free and you desire for healing to come. So we speak life and we come against this flu, this virus, whatever it is, any pneumonia, flu, viral or bacterial pneumonia that seems to result from that or move into that at times. Father, we just come before you as your children, and we thank you for good health. We thank you for the doctors, for the nurses, for the other medical people who are needing strength to minister to those, to help those who also have been in weakened states. So, Father, we just ask for a wave of healing across the board in this area, Father, for our homes here today, for the people represented here, the ones who were sick who couldn't be here. Father, we just lift them up as well. For any of our family members, extended family members, Father, any people in nursing care facilities, any people in hospitals or any other type of place where people are gathered, Father, who are suffering and going through this, any doctor facility or medical facility, or some folks who don't even have access to that, who are suffering at home. Father, we just lift our voices as your children, and we call on you, Jehovah Rapha, and we cancel the assignment of the enemy over the state of Ohio, over this area, to wipe out and hurt and kill and steal and destroy anymore in the name of Jesus. And we release your glory and your fire and your healing aroma into the bodies right here now in Jesus' name and the families that are represented. And Father, for those that you put on our hearts right now in these other facilities, let it be. Let us carry that sweet aroma of healing, that we would not walk in any fear, that we would not walk in anything other than confidence in what your word says, and that we hold fast to your word, which says, by your stripes we were healed. Father, we are responsible to administer healing. You said, cure the sick, Lord. And by your spirit, we step out and do that. And we thank you for the covering of glory around those of us here and our family members to be strengthened, to be overwhelmed with your healing your healing anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Enjoy the week and be stronger in every way. Amen.